Mark Dubin. Hello, my friend, and welcome to a few moments of Bible study together. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm glad that we have this opportunity to share the Word of God and to look into the victory that we can have over the world system, over the flesh with indwelling sin, over Satan and his demonic powers, through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. For greater is he that is in you as a child of God than he that is in the world. And beloved, how wonderful it is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This is one of the treasures that we receive when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. When we accept Him as our Savior, the precious Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit to give us that glorious gift of eternal life and salvation, to cleanse us from sin, to make us pure and clean and holy in our spirit. Even as John 3:6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, spiritual birth. It's the spiritual part of man that's born again by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, man is a triune being, made in the likeness and image of Almighty God. Even as God is triune, so He made man with a spirit, a soul, and a body, so that man is a triune being. Even as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He tells us about God's creating man as a triune being in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And the word sanctify means set you apart, and the word holy is W-H-O-L-L-Y, speaking of the whole person. And he says, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, man is a triune being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spirit of man relates to the spirit world. The soul of man relates to and has to do with our personality. It has to do with the thinking part of our mind, our emotions, and our will. That's the soul of man. And then, of course, the physical body is that with which we're most familiar, and that which we put on our driver's license, or put on cards to represent who we are, or take pictures that we identify somebody by the physical body. But the true identity with Almighty God, he tells us in the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, or the spirit of man. God sees our inner being. That's where our true identity is. We're either a child of God, or we're a child under Satan's control, a child of the devil. And so, beloved, each person listening to my voice is one of those two categories. Either you've been born into the family of God and have become a child of God, or else you're still separated from God, lost and in sin and under the control of Satan. And that's why we need salvation, to deliver us from the control, the bondage that we're in before we accept Jesus as Savior. We're in spiritual darkness, groping about, trying to find something that will satisfy our life, something that will give meaning to our life, something that will give purpose to our life. and Satan, the enemy, his demonic forces, will do everything they can to keep you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Satan wants to keep you under his control, under his dominion, and though Satan is not omnipresent like God is, that's why he has multitudes of demon powers that he has trying to keep you from putting your faith and trust in Jesus. He'll use any means he can to keep you from the Lord Jesus Christ. He will use the world system. That's one of the enemies of the believer, Ephesians 2:1-11. And you hath he quickened, an old English word meaning made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually, beloved, if you know not Jesus, you're spiritually dead and separated from God. Wherein in time past you walked, and he's going to describe how you're living. Walked according to, number one, the course of this world system, under the control of the world system. Number two, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, which is Satan and his demons, among whom also we had our conversation, another old English word meaning manner of living, in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that is the condition, beloved, of the individual without Jesus Christ. You're under the control and influence of the world system, under Satan's power and dominion, and under the power of indwelling sin in your flesh that you're seeking to satisfy and fulfill the longings and desires of the flesh. And thus it creates all kinds of havoc and problems in the lives of individuals. And so this is what we're thinking about here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. We're considering the world system and what that consists of. And he tells us in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2. Remember, 1 John is a little short book in front of the last book of the Bible. You go to the last book of the Bible, in front of it you find some short books. One of them is 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 we read, "Love not the world." And he's talking about the world system. He's not talking about the earth and the beauty of the earth, despite the curse that's on it. He's talking about the world system, government, and the operation of the world system, the things that are promoted on television, in the movies, in the magazines, things that the world system promotes and pushes to people, trying to form them and control them and put them under its dominion, under its control, under its influence. So he says, "Love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," and he describes what's in the world. First of all, the lust of the flesh. That's part of the world system, the lust of the flesh. Secondly, the lust of the eyes. And, oh, beloved, we're all prone to look at things that the world offers and entices us to be involved in, such as the Internet, or the movies, or television. These are all means of the lust of the eye. Magazines and books, these are things that the eyes look at and desire to look into and to meditate and think upon. The lust of the eyes. And thirdly is the pride of life. The pride of life is something that every one of us have to deal with. It has to do with what happens when people say something about us that hurts or offends us. What does it offend? It offends our pride. It offends our feeling about our importance. It offends our feeling about ourselves. And it puts us down. It makes us angry. It upsets us because they're attacking our personhood. And so our pride is affected by that. It offends our pride. And so these are the three methods that the world system uses to try to ensnare and entrap and to hold people under its control. The lust of the flesh, impure desires, wicked longings, sensual cravings, seeking after that which the flesh wants, the lust of the eyes, such as pornography. That's a multi-billion-dollar business in the world. And how much of it is being promoted over the internet, over television now, over the movies? Pornography, which has to do with impurity. It has to do with the evil exposure of the human body and the people lusting after and having desire to commit adultery, to commit fornication, to commit incest, to be involved in these sexual sins that pornography promotes and entices one to be involved in. That's the lust of the eyes. That's how the lust of the eyes operates. And it also makes you dissatisfied with the things you have. You want to have something that somebody else has, something that you've seen promoted, something that entices you and attracts you to get involved and to purchase this or to pay for this or to get in debt in order to try to obtain this. That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life has to do with our pride, our feelings about ourselves. That's why we doctor our faces and try to make up our faces and try to comb our hair just right. And that's why we try to dress appropriately and dress correctly and dress like other people do in order to be accepted, because we want to be accepted by what's going on around us and by the group that we're being involved in or going to be involved in. And so pride comes into all of this picture that we're talking about. Well, time's gone. Join us next time. Till then, goodbye.